Welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church, located in Evansville, Indiana. Today is Wednesday, May 24th, 2023. This is edition number 91 of Season 8. As we continue looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith, we are in Chapter 17 of the Perseverance of the Saints. Today we'll consider paragraph number 2. Let's pray together first, and then we'll take a look at this paragraph. Our Father in heaven, as we come now to these very important truths, we come to this very important doctrine in which brings comfort and hope to us as weak creatures of dust in our perpetual wanderings that we find ourselves from day to day, easily straying from that which you have commanded us. Though we are your redeemed people, we still wander at times. And so we thank you that this doctrine gives to us and affords to us hope and comfort and encouragement that you will never let us go. And so we pray that as we study this, these truths, that you would be gracious to us, that you would open our eyes and our ears to the various things that you would have to say to us from your word. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we come to paragraph number 2. Of course, paragraph number 1 set forth the fundamental aspects of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, and that those who are united to Christ really and truly can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. Now, the question, of course, comes, how does this all work? Paragraph number 2 sets forth for us the answers to the question of how do Christians persevere? How does this actually happen? I noted, I think, in yesterday's devotional that the doctrine of perseverance is not the doctrine of let go and let God. The doctrine of perseverance means that God will indeed continue to drive forward, push forward, sometimes pull forward his people that are truly united to Christ, that they will never be lost. But at the same time, those who are truly united to Christ need to make diligent use of the outward means that God has given to his church, the words, sacraments, and prayer. And some people struggle in their Christian life because they don't take advantage of the means of grace that God has given to them. They absent themselves from worship, or they make excuses for why they're not there. Some churches today have two worship services on the Lord's Day because the Bible and the pattern of worship shows that there should be two worship services on the Lord's Day. And yet some people who determine on their own, independent of their elders or pastors, decide to go off and do whatever they want and skip the second service because they don't seem to care about their own soul. Those are the people, of course, that end up struggling at times. They wonder why they're having such difficulty. Well, they're not taking advantage of the means of grace that God has given. And so they wrestle and they struggle. But paragraph 2 gives to us how this actually happens. And it disarms the idea that I persevere myself. It disarms the idea that this whole doctrine of perseverance is somehow left up to me, because it isn't ultimately up to me. It is up to He who rescued me, He who saved me. Yes, again, I have responsibilities, but it is God who brings one to that place of glorification. And so, paragraph number 2, this perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will, but upon the immutability of the decree of election flowing from the free and unchangeable love of God the Father. So let's just stop there and consider a couple things. In other words, my perseverance isn't merely up to my own choices. Yes, I make choices. I need to make good choices, but it is not rooted or its foundation found in those choices. But as the confession tells us and the Word of God clearly teaches us, it's based upon the immutability of the decree of election flowing from the free and unchangeable love of God of God the Father. Now, immutability is simply inability to change. That is to say, those who God has determined to save, those who he has elected to eternal salvation, he will not change his mind. He will not suddenly decide because you wandered off the deep end and jumped over the fence and did some silly things, violated his laws, sinned against him, he's not going to suddenly decide to write you out of the book of life. No, this perseverance is rooted in the unchanging decree of election that flows from the free and unchangeable love of God the Father. Psalm 89 is one of the proof texts that the Westminster Assembly uses, verses 3 and 4. I'm just going to read these verses. Psalm 89, verses 3 and 4. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. And then skipping down to verse 28, my steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. And I will establish his offspring forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. And so as we read these verses, we think to ourselves, boy, it's really a good thing that my perseverance to eternal salvation is, if it was dependent upon me, I'm in serious trouble because I sin daily in thought, word, and deed. I'm easily wooed away from that which God has commanded me. I'm easily turned aside from those things. And yet, it's not. What the determining element in God's persevering a person to eternal salvation is his immutable, unchanging decree of election, is eternal love that flows freely and unchangeably through that which the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. And so it goes on to say, upon the efficacy of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ. That is simply to say that, again, our perseverance is rooted in what Jesus has done for us, that work that he accomplished, and not only that work that he has accomplished, but that work that he still is accomplishing in the sense that he is praying daily for us, mediating, interceding before his Father for those he came to redeem. Romans chapter 8 and verses 33 through 39. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, those are very encouraging verses. Again, our perseverance is not determined by us. It is determined by the unchanging love of God in Christ and the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he has accomplished. And so we trust him and we look to him for it. Yes, again, there's always the danger in the Christian faith after hearing something like this to think, well, I'm just going to sit back and take the easy street and I'm not going to exert any effort. I'm not going to be diligent to be obedient to that which God has said. I'm just going to check out. I've got fire insurance. I'm good. I'm safe. Everything's fine. You said it yourself. Well, I didn't say that, for one thing. I said that the whole impetus and the foundation and root of our perseverance is rooted in that which God has decreed and decreed because of that which Jesus Christ has done. I did say, of course, that we need to be diligent to use the means that God has also given us. But it goes on to add some other reasons. I'm not going to spend any time commenting on these reasons. This perseverance of the saints that depends not upon your free will or my free will, but the immutability of the decree of election, the efficacy of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ, the abiding of the Spirit and of the seed of God within them, and the nature of the covenant of grace, from all which ariseth also the certainty and infallibility thereof. So the whole purpose of this paragraph is to underscore that truth that your perseverance, mine, it rests solely in the God of heaven. And if you are united to Him, as paragraph 1 tells us, if that is you, then you will never be lost. You will never, ever be lost. Now again, just to remind you, this does not mean sit back and coast. This means use the means that God has given that He might persevere you to the end. What are those means? Well, you need to be in worship on the Lord's Day. If your church has two worship services, unless you're providentially hindered, you need to be there. You are not helping your soul and your perseverance in the Christian faith by not taking advantage of those means. If your church has a prayer meeting, you ought to be there. You ought to be in prayer meeting. If your church has a prayer meeting. Sadly, so many churches, they've stopped doing that. I don't know why. I don't understand the reason. Worldliness. You need to take advantage of the sacraments, and particularly the Lord's Supper. You need to understand why you're doing it and what is the Lord's Supper, and you need to study it. The Larger Catechism has wonderful teaching on that matter. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be praying. You need to be using the means of grace that God gives so that you might persevere to the end. But remember, it's not up to you. Ultimately, it is up to He who has promised you that He will deliver you safely to your heavenly rest. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to reach me is there before you on the screen. And so until the Thursday edition, when we continue looking at chapter 17, may the Lord help you today. May you strive. Use the means God's given you to walk according to His ways with the comfort, the hope, the encouragement that God is the one who will indeed bring you safely to your heavenly rest. God bless.